Have any of you heard of the Indian philosopher? He's a philosopher and a mystic and a teacher, Krishnamurti. It is said that in one of his later talks in the last 10 years of his speaking, and so he said, "Do you want to know my secret?" And the audience, as one, leaned in with an inhalation, and he said, "This is my secret. I don't mind what happens." He doesn't mind what happens. Now, when I'm having a good day, I actually don't mind what happens at all. I mean, I am totally open to whatever happens to me on a good day. It's only the moment when a problem comes up that you mind. So you think, well, you need to be a Krishnamurti in order to really understand what it means to not mind when a problem comes. And you know what? To be a Krishnamurti, you have to meditate every day, and you have to go to these extreme lengths of going within, going deeper and studying. And the Course in Miracles says something very interesting that makes no sense at all, as many of the things it says make no sense at all, unless you understand the bigger picture. Let me recognize the problem so that it can be solved. Let me recognize the problem so that it can be solved. But then it says something else. Let me recognize the problem, meaning let me know what I'm really dealing with here so I can solve it. Because if I'm trying to solve a problem and I don't know really what the problem is, I see the surface of it, and in the surface of it, it looks like something bad is happening. It looks like a problem. Let me understand. Let me recognize. Let me see with my right eye so I can understand what it is so I can solve it. And that sounds reasonable. But then it says something else that's just outrageous. It says, let me recognize that my problems have been solved. Past tense. I worked with a woman who 4 years ago took a job in the travel industry because she loved to travel. And the day she arrived in the travel industry, hoping to begin her life of work and travel, they cut back all the benefits. Literally, that week was the week they just cut all the benefits, so all the travel agents who used to travel can't travel, and all the new people would not be traveling at all. You want to travel? On your own dime. That was day one. I don't mind what happens, okay? 91 days into her new job where she had no benefits that she came for, her boss blamed her for something that was the fault of a superior, but her boss couldn't blame the superior, so the woman turned around and blamed her for a problem that wasn't hers, and not only blamed her and humiliated her publicly in front of all of the workers and all of her employees. She said on that day, if I didn't have to be here, she said, I would have been gone on that day. In that moment, I just wanted to leave, pick up my things, take my purse, and walk right out of the room. I had just absolutely, she said, had it. 4 years later, she's on her way to work. Same job. 4 years later, she's on her way to work. She's going into the subway as she always does. 4 years later, she is sick and tired and exhausted. She spends 60 plus hours a week, works often till 11 o'clock at night at this job that she hates for this boss who never liked her from day one, who she does not like. 4 years later, goes down the subway, comes up the subway right in front of the corporate entrance, and her knee blows out. I don't mind what happens, right? She goes into the hospital. She has to have emergency surgery. She is out for a month. She comes back to work. Her first day at work, she looks at her desk. Her desk is the superior desk because she came in high, and she runs that office, and now somebody else is sitting at her desk. The person who used to work for her is now somebody she's going to have to work for because he took her job. The job they said will hold for you was now given into the hands of somebody else who took her job. And she said, there is no way I can sit there at the bottom of the totem pole, because now she goes to the bottom of the list and begins again. She goes, there's no way I can begin all over again in this company. She is perhaps in her upper 50s, 60s. There's no way I can start again, walk into this job again in the beginning and take orders from all those people who at one time took orders from me. She goes, I sat down with my boss, and my boss said, you know, she said, you, the reason this has happened to you is because you have never done a good job for us, and he has always done better work than you, and you're sitting at the desk you really should have been sitting at all these 4 years, right? On day 91, this happened. 4 years later, it's still happening. She goes, this is a job I did with kid gloves, with my whole heart, put my life into, and nobody could have done it better because nobody did. That's how hard she worked at this job, and this was the thank you that she got. Let me recognize that my problems have been solved. What we're really dealing with. And what we're really dealing with is the bigger story. And we talk about this every week. We're talking about the story around the story, the context in which our stories happen. There's our life happening. And then there is the bigger story around our life happening. The reason that we're here. What we came to earth to be. Who we truly are. Why we're walking on this planet in the first place, why we were born, that story, the story of our soul, some might call it the hero's story, the hero's journey. Joseph Campbell would call it that, the journey that we've come here to take, our soul has come to take. There's us walking this earth, and then there is that deeper part of our nature that chose to incarnate in this life as who we are, to do what we came here to do. And if those stories sync up, that's wonderful. But when those stories don't sync up, we get a call. We get a conversation. Something cracks in our life. We talked about that weeks ago. The tapes are available on augustgold.net. And we've got to start calling a problem what it actually is. It is a push from within to push us out into the open space. As long as we are obsessed with the problem, we are literally arriving at a dead end. And the dead end is poor me. Poor me. This is a hard problem. I can't believe this is happening to me. The moment we can recognize what the problem is, that the problem is a push from within to an open space for us to move forward, it ceases to become a problem and it becomes instead an opening, right? This woman could have hated her boss forever. Now, I worked with a therapist. I go into therapy from time to time to do a little bodies of work when I can't get past certain places in my life by myself. And somebody had recommended this guy to me, said he's just a terrific therapist. I go in, knock on the door, opens it, puts out his hand to shake my hand, and it's a mechanical arm. And right away he tells you something about himself as a therapist. Right away he says, let's not pretend. Let's not pretend that this is something that it's not. Let's not pretend this didn't happen to me. Let's not pretend. I'm not going to hide this thing, and I'm not going to make it look like a real one when we both know it's not. And you know what? When we say hello, here's the arm I'm going to use, because this is the arm I always used when I had an arm. So right away, I totally, totally loved this guy. In addition to the fact that he was so good looking, you didn't know what to look at, his arm or his face. He was just such a good looking guy and so direct. He came from a background of being an extreme athlete. So what happened? He was rock climbing with the girl that he loved, the beautiful girl that he loved. They were rock climbing because he did all kinds of stuff out in the open. That's who he was. And one day they were rock climbing and a boulder dislodged. And it dislodged and it fell onto his arm and onto his leg. So they were able, him and his girlfriend, to get that loose. They're in the car, her car. She's driving him to the hospital. And he says to her, he says, well, they weren't sure. He said, if he was going to lose his leg and his arm, or just his arm, or just his leg, or both. At the moment, it looked like he was going to lose both. And she said, "What is going to happen if you lose your arm?" she said. He said, "Well, then I am going to be the sexiest one-armed boyfriend you have ever had." That was his conversation going to the hospital, right? He goes to the hospital. He doesn't lose the leg. He loses the arm. Now, why is this story important in the middle of "I don't mind what happens"? You tell me who can say "I don't mind what happens" when something like that happens. It is not possible unless you're Krishnamurti or Jesus or Moses or Buddha. Okay? It is not possible to say "I don't mind what happens." Let me recognize the problem so that it can be solved. Because the first thing we want to do is solve this problem. But the Course in Miracles goes a step further, and you need to hear this because it's just downright outrageous. Let me recognize that my problems have been solved. It's like a rubric cube for the mind. It doesn't even make sense. How do you recognize your problems have been solved? I don't have an arm. She's been demoted so publicly that she cannot go back. At the end of the evening, the woman said, "I'm not coming back. She said it to herself, "I can't come back." And that is when she remembered something. She said, "I remembered that a month ago, I put a prayer out and I said, 'Help me do what I love. Just help me do what I love.'" Whether you put the prayer out to God or the universe or just say the words, it doesn't make a difference if you say the words, a fairy tale will tell you, into a well or into an open hearth. Just say the words aloud. And all of a sudden, when all of this stuff, and here she is hobbling on her cane, it comes to her that 7-8 months ago she started studying how to have your own business. Not taking it seriously, just started studying. Because that's something she wanted to do. She wanted to be her own person. She wanted to be free. She didn't want to have to work this hard. All of that was set in motion all those months ago when she said, "God, wouldn't it be wonderful if I just worked for myself and didn't have to answer to anybody that I didn't respect? If my time were my own, wouldn't it be wonderful?" And she just put out the request, "Just help me to do what I love, whatever that is." Wasn't even clear what it would be, but just help. And what we need to understand is that not only is every prayer heard, every prayer is answered, but if we do not have eyes to recognize the answer to the prayer, it looks like a problem. See, what we don't yet know and what we need to know and what all these talks are about is learning to know is that concealed in the problem is a miracle. We think it's an answer, but it's a miracle. It is when the veil parts and your soul begins to step in on your behalf in your life. The veil parts and life begins. God begins. The Tao begins to step in and push you past the place of your resistance to moving forward into the very answer that you have been seeking. So when Krishnamurti says, "I don't mind what happens," what he understands is that there is a conversation constantly going on between us and our deeper self, us and life itself. And she woke up to the realization that she had herself had asked, "Help show me what I love to do." Now, we're either going to get the answer to our prayer, when we pray, or we're going to get what stands in the way. And what stands in the way is this job that she has hated for 4 years minus 91 days. On the 91st day, she knew she hated it, but she couldn't leave it. At the end of 4 years, life is asking again the same question. Are you serious? Are you serious? Do you want to do what you love? Do you want to travel? Because she hadn't traveled not one trip since she went into the travel industry. Now, that is ironic. I'm so sorry. That is, like, completely ironic. She hadn't traveled anywhere. And the question is, then, are we going to stop and take a moment and recognize that inside this problem is the answer, but the answer is not get rid of this problem. The problem is the push. We don't want to get rid of the problem. We want to get at the miracle that is concealed inside the problem. That is not the immediate answer to the problem, which is get rid of this bitch who's my boss because I hate her and she hates me. That looks like what the answer is. The answer is, how do I do what I love? How do I get from where I am to what I love to do instead of doing what I hate? That large answer always is what is sitting beneath the problem in your life. Concealed in the problem is this push, and the miracle that is contained inside the problem itself. How can the Course say, let me recognize my problems have been solved, unless it knows that inside the problem is already the answer with the miracle concealed inside of it? If the miracle wasn't present in your life, neither would the problem be. And we need to just take a breath and take that in, because that is such a dramatically different, ridiculous way to look at a situation. And don't you tell anybody who's got a problem, oh, there's a miracle concealed in there, because they are never going to call you again when they have issues, and you know that's going to happen. But we got to know that for ourselves. We got to know what we're dealing with. Otherwise, we freak out. And we think the answer is, let me pray for the answer to this problem so it just ends. We don't want the end, we want the push. Now, this guy's got no arm, right? My therapist has got no arm. So you're saying, oh, please, do not tell me that this guy wouldn't want his arm, you know, sewn right back on to be the way it was. Who does not want their life to be the way it was before, when all things were well before the problem? And the interesting thing is, before the problem, we think everything was well, when in fact, before the problem in our life, everything was small. That's not well. Small is not well. Small, small. And a problem comes when we need to be pushed out of the smallness that we are living in into the greater life we have contracted to live. We are here, mark my words, for a purpose, and don't think we're not. And anybody who says they're not is not living theirs. So, here's this guy, I don't mind what happens, as Krishnamurti says, and this is a big deal for an extreme athlete. So let me recognize that my problems have been, past tense, have been, it's a consciousness, my problems have been solved, meaning it's done. They are solved, because inside of this answer, inside of his missing arm, inside of this situation. And he wasn't like an 18-year-old guy going rock climbing, just doing it, you know, without thinking. He was a cautious man. He was thinking what he was doing. He was aware. He was mindful. So what happened that this guy needed to end up in this place? What happens to any of us that we need to end up with the boss from hell? And think about it. When we say boss, we're not talking about something you do an hour a day. Work, the reason most heart attacks happen Monday morning, guess. We're on our way to work. She was on her way to work. Most heart attacks happen Monday morning or Sunday night for a reason, because work takes up the lion's share of our life. So that Cahil Gibran, the philosopher, would say this statement, it is better to be a beggar at the gates of the city than it is to do work you hate. And he's saying it is, because that hatred inevitably is going to be something that catches up with you. We think we can handle it. We can't. We think it's okay. We're just going to do it for another couple of years. We can't afford it. Because eventually it's going to show up as a problem, not because you're doing something wrong, but because you've overstayed your welcome in this smaller life, and you've made what you hate your hiding place. What happens to him? He's laying in the hospital. He's got no arm. His new arm hasn't even come. They haven't fitted him for one. He doesn't know what he's going to do. All he knows is his life is over. And it is. And he says, I'm laying there after surgery. And he goes, and I remember something that I've forgotten. The miracle is concealed. Remember, the miracle is concealed inside the answer with the problem when the problem is given. What you are given is a concealed miracle in the form of a problem. The problem is a push. When we understand, when we recognize the words of the Course, when we recognize what the problem is, we then take ourselves to what we're actually seeing. If we don't know what we're actually going to see, this guy then becomes an alcoholic. This guy then becomes a very, very, very angry man. This guy begins to not believe in anything. You don't even want to get to know this guy after his life is over in this way, because he had no path, no way of holding what happened to him, except he had a memory, and the memory was of what he always wanted to be growing up as a young boy, which he had totally, totally put aside. For a very good reason. By the way, we put aside our dreams for very good reasons, not because we're cowardly and not because we're lazy. We put them aside because we go into the world and we realize there's no place for our dream, or it's not possible to have our dream, or it's just not doable, or it's too different, or I'm not the person to do it. He realizes his dream himself, not only his dream, who he was a man who loved to help people. That was his thing. Except in going through the church, his experience in the church, he saw some terrible things happening in the church behind the curtains. And he's in the middle of all this, and he says to himself one day, oh my God, I cannot be a priest. I am so not going to work in this environment, because this environment is a toxic environment. I cannot even imagine being in the church, making my life in the church. And from that moment forward, out. He just shut that down. And when we shut down a dream, man, we shut it down, and we shut down all memory of that dream as well. We just put it away in a closet, and we lock that door, and we walk away. We walk away. We might put 50 pounds on our body to push that dream down, or have to drink a lot of alcohol, have a lot of sex with strangers, or whatever it is, internet porn, or whatever it is we do, or bulimia, or all of the things that we do to push away the memory of something that will not be pushed away forever. It works for a while, just not forever. When the problem comes and we can recognize it, and that's the key word from the Course in Miracles that is genius. Let me recognize the problem, meaning let me understand what I'm seeing. Because once I understand what I'm seeing, I'm going to understand that something's knocking from within me, from a door I myself closed, and I can't go on living unless I open that door. And that door might be painful, and it might bring sadness with it, and it might make us nervous, and we might not want to go inside and look at it, but we have to. Why? Because it's here. That's why Krishnamurti doesn't mind what happens, because he knows that everything that happens is a conversation that his soul is having with him, that life is having with him, or for some of you, you might be comfortable saying that God is having with you, about a place in which you need to open up because you've arrived at a dead end in an area of your life. Not because you're doing anything wrong, quite the contrary. You're doing all the right things in the wrong direction. And how do we know it's the wrong direction? Because your boss is telling you no matter how hard you work, you ain't working hard enough. No matter how much you love somebody, they're not loving you back. No matter how much you're giving, you're not getting. No matter how much you're wanting, you're not receiving. And he's laying in bed and he remembers this moment that he turned away from his dream. And he recognized that longing had never been fulfilled. That as many mountains as he might climb, it still never gave him the kind of satisfaction that sitting in front of one person and helping one person in his life would have ever given him. And he recognized at that moment that was the push. The push was there was a miracle concealed inside of what looked to be a tremendous problem in his life. And the miracle was he was being given again, anew, his dream. His dream was being returned to him. And he was being told, you can go back to that dream and you don't have to do it through the church. All the ways that we have of pretending it doesn't matter doesn't work. What works is when the problem comes, we recognize what the problem is. What does this mean? Her knee was telling her, I can't take one more step into this job. I can't take one more step towards work I hate. The symbol is like remarkably evident. I can't take one more step. And it blew out right as she was about to enter her workplace. Don't make us do work we hate. And she got it. And he got it. And we get at that moment what they get, that their problem has been solved. It's been solved right at the moment of recognition. Not when it's over, when they're in it. Because they recognize what the problem is. And the moment you recognize that there is a miracle concealed inside of what was a problem a moment ago, from that moment forward, all of life, and anybody on this path will tell you, all of life begins to conspire to help you move forward into the greatness. Where do we begin? Where does the miracle begin? It begins with a problem recognized rightly. Isn't that a riot? Enough said. Thank you.